For those of you that have forgotten, you're sitting there feeling quite bad right now. You've still got some time to redeem yourself before the day is over. Father's Day is a wonderful tradition, and of course we honor fathers on this day. We honor them in many different ways. In some cases, there'll be Father's Day cards sent by mail or given. Long-distance phone calls made today will be very numerous. In fact, it'll be hard for you to get through if your father lives out of state. You have to keep calling. I know I've been in that situation. Some will have an opportunity to visit with their dad today. Some may, I think John got treated out to dinner last night, if I'm not mistaken. Sometimes those things happen. Lots of different ways that we honor our fathers. And of course, there are Father's Day gifts. I've already received a new pair of sunglasses, two new fishing lures, which I'm going to use to show all these fellows in Illinois that's how to catch fish about Tuesday night. Maybe. So, gifts are another way that we express our appreciation, honor. In fact, I'm wearing a tie that Brittany gave to me on Father's Day 2 years ago, I believe it was. Wore that this morning, just for her. When she first got it for me, she made sure I wore it about every other week for a while. I ran across an ad that was going, or that was in the Charleston paper several times this week. Maybe you ran across that ad too. It was from a jewelry store, and it said, buy your father the gift he wouldn't buy himself. And the next line said, all men's jewelry, 50% off. Well, you can rest assured that I wouldn't buy that for myself unless it was a watch. So, but anyway, that was a good ad. Maybe some of you are that same way. I guess times change. But I was thinking about this particular message and what I wanted to get across to you, and I thought about that ad, buy your father the gift he wouldn't buy himself. But I think there's a better way of looking at giving your father something than that. I would like to suggest that for all of you, especially young people, and I will be addressing myself primarily to them this morning, I suggest that you give your father a gift that he couldn't buy for himself. Not just one that he wouldn't, but I suggest to you that the best gift, the most appropriate gift, the most precious gift that you could give to a father is a gift that he could not buy for himself. In fact, it is a gift that no one could buy. What am I talking about? Well, I'm suggesting that you listen to what your father has to say. Now, it's plain and simple, short and sweet. Listen to what dad has to say. Heed his advice. Oh, yes, we can indulge fathers today, and that's good, but the most precious gift of all would be to base your life on the example and on the advice and the instruction of a godly father. That would be the most precious gift that a young person could give. But that's not just an insightful suggestion. That, my friends, is a scriptural responsibility. In fact, it comes to us from the wisest of men, King Solomon. Proverbs chapter 4. Every child, it seems that we could say that from what Solomon says here, every child should heed the instruction of a godly father. But now wait just a minute, we're not all children here this morning. And those of us that may be young people may not necessarily have a godly father. But as Solomon addresses the readers here, he is referring to himself as a father in the sense that he is giving fatherly-like instruction. So fatherly instruction does not necessarily always come just from your biological father. And we all need those father figures in our life who can give us advice and help. So whether you're a child, a young person, a teenager, or whether you're just a child of God, period, this morning, no matter what your age, it would be good if you would heed the instruction of a godly father. Maybe your father gave you that instruction many years ago, and now you're older. He's gone. But you can still base your life on it. Every child should heed the instruction of a godly father. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father. Now there are three reasons I want to give to you this morning why a child should heed the instruction of a godly father. You see, young people, they're used to listening with one ear and somehow opening the trap door on the other side and letting it go out the other side, and that's it. They listen, but they don't heed. It's listening here, hearing for the purpose of appropriating into life. And my friends, we need to realize that God has given us some very definite reasons why we ought to heed that instruction. Many young people today can't think of a good reason why they ought to obey mom and dad. I'm going to give you something from the Word of God, and I want you to listen. Young people, I want you to listen like you've never listened before, because this just might be the most important message you've ever heard. And you'll see why by the time I'm finished. Every child should heed the instruction of a godly father. First reason, because it is proper. It is proper instruction. He says, hear ye children the instruction of a father. Now the word instruction in the Hebrew language from which we translate here, the word instruction in the Hebrew means in its most literal sense discipline. It is not just verbal instruction, but it is discipline that leads to knowledge and understanding. So the first thing about proper instruction is this: it is corrective in nature. Proper instruction that comes from a father is not just what is said, it's not just the advice, but it is the correction that is given. And it's hard to knuckle under to that type of correction sometimes. But if you're going to give godly instruction to your children, there's got to be that corrective quality. A study was done by a couple of Harvard University sociologists, Sheldon and Eleanor Gluck, G-L-U-E-C-K. They published it in a book entitled Unraveling Juvenile Delinquency. And what they discovered in their research was that there were four basic reasons for juvenile delinquency. You know what reason number one was right on the top of the list? The absence. Father's firm, fair, and consistent discipline. Reason number two was the absence of a mother's supervision and companionship during the day. Well, there's a couple other reasons that are not that important. But if a father will correct and discipline his children, it will have a beneficial effect on their life. And for a young person to listen and heed that correction, it will have a beneficial effect. And if they do not, I can guarantee you, it will have a detrimental effect. Proper instruction is corrective. Then secondly, it leads to discernment. Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. Now the word understanding here is one of those words that you find in the book of Proverbs that is a synonym for wisdom. Here we might even, or we could even translate it discernment. Because it is not understanding that comes from just being able to know facts, but it is the ability to use what one knows in the right way in your life. It is discernment, it is wisdom of that sort. That is what proper instruction should lead one to. There is nothing worse than a man or a woman full grown and has no sense. I don't mean that they're stupid. I mean they have no discernment. And there's certainly many of them today. Proper instruction is corrective. It develops discernment. And it's moral in character. Look again at verse 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. Now look at verse 2 as we follow it. For I give you good doctrine. Now the word doctrine here means lesson or advice, instruction. I give you good doctrine. Good here means morally pure, good, as opposed to being bad. Now, where is it in this world today that a young person is going to get good doctrine? Are they going to get it off the TV set? I don't have to answer that for you. Are they going to get it at the movie theater? Certainly not going to have to answer that for you. Are they going to get it at school? You don't have to answer that for you either, do I? In fact, we even got laws that says teachers can't even bring anything religious into the classroom. Now you divorce God from the classroom and you have no moral quality left. Why? Because there's no standard. Everything becomes relevant. And that's what your kids get in the school system. Not necessarily a teacher's fault, but it is the plight of our society. Well, are they going to get good doctrine from their friends? You better think again. Unless your child has chosen their friends very carefully. Because there's not enough spiritual young people in Rome County to even begin to fill this auditorium this morning. Now, I'm no prophet, but I believe that's true. And then we come along and we put in place a teen program, the best that we can do in our church, and we pay a God-called young man to come in here and do a job, and parents don't care enough to send their kids to the activities. The only opportunity some of them's going to have is for a chance for any moral good instruction outside their home, and parents won't send them. Now that's frustrating. Now, God knows I love each one of you, and I know that kids have got other things going on, and there's things they got to do, but what's more important? And we're not going to jump on a young person because they missed one activity for vacation, or they had something else scheduled because they had a camp to go to, or because they had a, you know, something else. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about kids that just lay at home and say, I don't want to go. And mom and dad don't have enough gumption to get them up out of there and get them here. That's what I'm talking about. And now let's move on. That proper instruction is authoritative. Authoritative. Look again at verse 2. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. You ever hear mom and dad talk about laying down the law? We're not talking about the Old Testament law. We're talking about mom and dad's law. Authoritative. It means regulations. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'll talk to parents for a minute. You can have too many laws. Everything that I've read and understood about trying to bring up children is, you know, you can go too far. I think it would be best if you would have as few laws as possible around your house, but that you be very consistent in enforcing them. There is the possibility, according to Ephesians chapter 6:4, for a father or even for a mother for that matter, to provoke a child to wrath. So you've got to be fair and you've got to be consistent and you've got to be loving and you've got to be restrained in some ways. But young people, if we turn and flip the coin over on the other side, mom and dad have authority given to them by God, and the very moment you step out of their authority, you buck God. Well, it's as simple as that. That's the Word of God. Every child should heed the instruction of a godly father, because that is where you're going to have proper instruction. That's one reason why you ought to heed. There's a second reason why you ought to heed God's instruction. Not only is it proper, but it is proven instruction. Verse 3, Solomon says, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." In other words, Solomon says, you know, God didn't create me without parents, you know, and just there he is. You know, I had a mom and a dad, you see. And then he says, "He taught me also," verse 4, "He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words." First of all, young people, that instruction that comes to you has been proven in your parents' lives. But that instruction and that advice and that influence that you get from other young people and from the world is not proven. It doesn't have any basis. It will not stand in eternity. But what mom and dad says has been so often proven out in their own lives, they know what they're talking about. Parents, that's a good opportunity for me to say this to you. You better be consistent in your example. Because if it isn't proven in your life, are the kids going to pay any attention? You better be consistent in your Christian faith and in your testimony and in your dedication to the Lord and in the kind of character that sets a good example. Proven in your parents' lives, but also proven in past generations. Not only is Solomon saying, "Hear ye children my instruction," and he is portraying himself as a father figure, but he says, "Hey, wait a minute, I received this, I was taught this," he says, verse 4, "at my father and my mother's knee." Now Solomon's father was King David. And if there's anybody that was of any ways comparable to Solomon in wisdom, it was David. In fact, you go back and you look. The book of 1 Samuel, I should look this reference up, it just came to mind. But the scripture specifically says that David was wise. So a lot of what Solomon got from the Lord was simply the ability to take and grasp and take in and apply the wisdom that had already been given to him by his mom and his dad. So it was proven in past generations. Now that's kind of a short point. We're going to move on to number 3. We live in a world in which there's all sorts of philosophies and ideas floating around that come 10 years will be gone and young people stake their lives on. This just came to mind. But anyone you see, Jane Fonda the other night, 2020, make an apology to American veterans because of going to Hanoi and all that during the war. And, you know, she said some things, trying to smooth it over and so forth. And a lot of controversy later. But a lot, and I'm not trying to say she was fully apologetic or making any kind of comment. I'm just telling you that's what it was about. But the thing of it is, if you watch that interview, you notice that Jane Fonda, now here in 1988, looking back at what was going on back in 70, 71, 72, you know, a full 16 or so years difference, the things that she was doing and standing for back then, all that's changed. It doesn't matter anymore. She's going about things different. She, in one sense of the word, is a different person. At least she was able to see where she'd made some mistakes. Personally, I believe there was a lot more mistakes she could have apologized for. But what is so important to a young person, you know, now, 10 years from now, that philosophy, that idea is gone. It's no longer important. Dad and mom's instruction is proven instruction. Well, we've noticed that it is proven instruction and that it is proper. There's one more reason why that a young person especially, and any of us for that matter, ought to heed the instruction of a godly father. And that is because it is profitable instruction. It is profitable. Profitable to who? To you. Oh, it'll be of some profit to mom and dad too. I mean, they'll be blessed if your life is right. But what I'm getting at is that if you will be obedient to that which you have been taught, you will be the one that'll be blessed because of it. And if you don't, you will be the one that will suffer. I want you to look with me at verse 4 again. speaking of David, Solomon says, "He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words." And notice the last phrase in verse 4. "Keep my commandments and live." He didn't say, "Keep my commandments and I'll be happy with you," which he will. He didn't say, "Keep my commandments and it'll go well with you," which it probably will. I mean, look at it. He said, "Keep my commandments and what? Live!" Back to chapter 3, verse 1 of Proverbs. Just flip the page. Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Now look at verse 2. "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Now flip back over to Proverbs 4 where we're at. Now we're going to stop at verse 4. But just as a cross reference, I want you to look down with me at verse 11. I should say verse 10. Proverbs 4:10. "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, for the years of thy life shall be many." Let's go over the New Testament for good measure. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 1 and 2. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." The first commandment with promise. Honor thy father and mother. Commandment number 5. The first one with a promise. And what might that promise entail? Verse 3. "That it may be well with thee, and that and thou mayest live long on the earth." The condition, we're back in Proverbs now. Now that we've made this point, in general terms, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 4. "Keep my commandments and live." The condition, if you're going to have long life, if you're going to live, you've got to keep the commandments of mom and dad. Keep my commandments. That's the condition. That's the condition given. You do that, you're going to live. Should you keep mom and dad's commandments? You better believe it. There's a survey done of 600 teenagers up in New England in the various prisons. Maybe we shouldn't call them prisons for teenagers, delinquents or whatever, right? Maybe they call them something else. They surveyed 600 teenagers who were incarcerated. They asked them questions, and they came up with this, that three out of four of those 600 teenagers, three out of four were permitted by their parents to come and go as they pleased with no parental oversight. The sad thing about those teenagers, they'll probably be out one day and they'll be back into drugs and back into crime and all that other stuff. Half of them won't even make 30 because of what they're doing to their life. Keep my commandments. That's the condition. And the benefit is you will live. You will live. You remember Absalom? David's son who rebelled against him, set himself up as king. David mourned him so when he was killed in battle. But the point is, Absalom rebelled against his father and against not only his father, but the king, and against God, and Absalom's life was cut off. You remember Eli's sons? Remember Eli's sons who committed immoralities with the women when they should have been performing priestly duties? They went off to battle, and what happened? They never came home. Remember those young boys that were mentioned in the paper a few weeks ago? Skipped school, didn't they, and went swimming. Drowned. I don't know whether they had a mom and dad at home telling them what to do or not, but if they did, they surely, if they would have obeyed, they would have been in school and that wouldn't have happened, would it? Now, I'm not saying that God is sitting up there with a big axe ready to fall on any young person that happens to make a mistake. That's not what I'm trying to convey to you. What I'm saying is that God has ordained the lifespan of every individual. Now, a young person could be perfectly obedient and live a short life and be in God's will. That's possible, see. But even though God may have intended for a young person to live many years on this earth, God allows for the possibility of that life to be cut short, not because He chooses, but because that young person chooses of their own free will to violate the commandments and the principles set up plainly in God's Word. And they choose by their own actions, take their own life in their own hands. Three reasons why you ought to heed the instruction of a godly father. It's proper instruction. It's proven instruction. It's profitable instruction.